This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
This is the mainframe. Welcome back, everybody, to our series on measurement and optimization. In this episode, we're going to be talking about practical management, what it is you really need to be focusing on as you start to put together your overall optimization and measurement strategy. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great. And after last episode, when we talked about how you shouldn't worry, we're going to worry you this week.
Yeah. There's knowing what to worry about is actually one of the most important business strategy things you can learn. And you learn that a lot in business strategy seminars and classes, is focusing on the important things, the big stuff, and what you really need to be running an effective business, as opposed to all the little things that tend to help, you know, kind of get you caught up where and worrying about things that aren't that important. This is about focusing on the big important things, right?
Yeah, it's not about which live streaming app you're going to choose. And I'm an actual worrier, but I tend to worry about everything. The stuff to worry about is the stuff that you actually have some influence and control over. And the big stuff, the stuff that's fundamental that we're going to talk about today, that's the stuff that can absolutely bleed you dry if you don't monitor it. If you don't actually monitor and manage the big stuff, the fundamental framework of your business, then you're driverless.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because one of the things that people tend to do is focus on the wrong things, like we were just saying earlier. And I think that by knowing first what to measure and then how to go about doing it is really what effective practical measurement is about, because you can measure so many different things, you can track so many different things, but if you're not focused on the things that really directly influence your bottom line and how you grow your business, how you run your business, how efficient you can be, you tend to worry about and make changes to things that have no larger impact. So you may make changes to small things that make small impacts, but they don't have impact in the right area. So it's both focusing on the right things and worrying about the right things, but it's also making those changes that have impact to the right things. And it can be small impact, but it needs to be affecting things like revenue and income, leads, those things that really drive your business forward.
Yeah. And I often make a joke that people shouldn't run a business via spreadsheet, but every business needs numbers. So what I mean is you have to focus on the things that actually make a real difference. And as we said before, what you measure gets managed. There's a popular thing in computer programming where people try to pay programmers or measure their performance by how many lines of code they've written, which is crazy because the best programmers actually delete more than they write. The whole idea of a computer program is it's the correct code. It's not the size of it. You don't want bloat. And a good programmer is going to be very sparing. They're going to write the good code, but also they're going to use existing libraries. So efficiency people that want to see how productive you are, they're going to ask you to clock in at 9 a.m. They're going to ask you to clock out at 6 p.m. and they're going to see how many lines you typed. And so that gets gamed. People would just type gibberish and then delete it. And then they would get higher scores on their debugging because it didn't work and now it works. And so you have to measure the correct things. And Tony and I were joking earlier that the sign of a bad company, a company that's going to fail, is when you have to start paying for your own coffee in the break room. And that's because they've cut costs so much they can't afford $2 for a bag of sugar, right?
Right, yeah. And when you start having things affect the wrong stuff, you end up with a situation like, I mean, a good example is Ultron. It invaded Jarvis in the wrong way and turned it into something completely different, focusing on that what was wrong, what was actually not actually wrong. And you see that kind of thing a lot when you're talking about business measurement. For example, if you're focused on traffic and you're so hyper-focused on traffic, however, you've not established the correlation of what type of traffic impacts your actual income through leads, through furthering people through a funnel, and through revenue, and then eventually to actual profit, then you're not really understanding why that traffic is important. So a lot of people focus on traffic. That's one of those things you hear all the time. And in fact, we were joking because almost every time we do any type of webinar or any type of seminar service, there's always people that are like, well, what about traffic? What about traffic? And yeah. It's like, well, if you don't know what you're going to do with the traffic, it's not that important, because there needs to be a correlation to your business. I mean, the only business that really relies strictly on traffic is if you have a highway and you have toll roads, and then there's a direct correlation between traffic and money. But aside from that, you need to see what you're doing with the traffic. So that's really what we're talking about in this episode, right, Chris? The practical measurement of what you're doing with all this stuff.
Yeah, it's not the vanity stuff. It's not the stuff that feeds your ego. And I don't want to talk too badly about past employers, but I went through some horrific experiences in the dot-com bust. And the agency I worked for kept on getting bought out by more incompetent managers. I don't think we ever had any competent owners the entire time I worked there. And that's probably libelous. But the problem was they were targeting winning awards from peers instead of doing good work that actually delivered results. And as the dot-com crash really took hold, all they focused on was cutting the bleed, reducing costs, and stopping bleeding money. But there's a limit to how much you can do. It's like with the global politics, there's a limit to how much austerity can do before you're actually reducing the country's ability to add value. It's the same with a company. There's a limit to how much you can cut costs before you're actually limiting your ability to do what you're promising or actually sell what you have to offer. And I was part of a startup in the early 2000s, and we had the same issue. Instead of generating revenue, everybody thought that the problem was our burn rate. It wasn't the burn rate. It was because we weren't actually bringing any money into the company to cover our overhead or to expand. And by focusing on the wrong thing, by focusing on the money going out, you take your eye off how much you can generate. Our whole household debts were not eliminated by reducing our costs. They were eliminated by earning more money. And so you have to focus on what is actually going to create the biggest shift in your business, allow you to grow, expand, move forward. And a lot of the time, people focus on the fear stuff, the regressive stuff. We've got to cut costs. We've got to reduce headcount. We've got to reduce overhead. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between if you've got physical stock and physical brick and mortar overhead. In our business, most of our overhead really is walking around. It's human beings. But most of our value and the things that we can bring to the market are those same human beings. And so you really have to focus on what's going to make you more money, what's going to make you more money faster, and then bring it back to strategy.
That's absolutely right. And one of the areas you can focus on is constraints. And the reason we've sort of started this episode about talking about what not to do is because a lot of times people dive right into those areas and they're not really sure why am I measuring the wrong things. And constraints provide a lot of options for you, because when we're talking about constraints, we're using the word in two different ways. Number one, we're using it as where you're constrained in your resources. So you may not have a lot of time and effort and manpower to focus on a variety of different things. So you need to focus on those areas where you can get the most value. And number two, we're using the term constraint in those areas themselves. Where are they being constrained? And I like looking at it these two different ways, because you're looking at constraints from a couple of different angles. And it allows you to hyper-focus on some things that are important. So we're going to talk now into how to turn those ideas into strategy.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about strategy and turning those constraints into strategy. Chris, you've experienced this in businesses that were run effectively, and we've talked about that a lot, and businesses that have run ineffectively, which is easier to see what they were doing wrong and how you can do it right. And as a consultant, I experienced it as well. So what are the kind of things that you've seen that were both done right and done wrong?
I think the thing in common with most of the ones that did it right is focus. And we've talked a lot about attraction, retention, and conversion and automation. That was our ARC Reactor series. And by looking at a framework like attraction, retention, and conversion, you can actually see what's important to your business. So focus is vitally important, and not getting distracted with the new shiny thing. And the second thing is to actually look at that and how it implements as a strategy and the tactics within that and working backwards. And we talked about that in the previous episode, right?
Right. And let's talk about some specific areas, because, you know, one thing that we keep getting back to is income. And if you're running a business, your goal is to make money. That's a simplified way of saying it, but it really, it comes down to the fact that, that's the overall goal. So revenue minus expenses equal profit. And that's another piece we're looking at measuring, profit margin. And you can look at sales, leads, and then traffic and how it applies to those different areas. So that's one of the things when you're starting to look at these different constraints. So let's start with income.
So it's important to look at this the right way. We're working from the end goal. As Tony said before, we're working back towards traffic. Instead of the people that are hyper-focused on traffic as an end in itself, it's a means to an end. So we work on income, and then we work on a profit margin, and then we work back to sales. And to get sales, you need leads. And then to get the leads, we need traffic. It's a means to an end. It's not an end in itself.
And that's the most important thing that we're talking about here, because we're not saying that traffic's not important, but you need the right kind of traffic that goes on to become a lead, to a sale, and eventually a increases your revenue and income. So if you start from income first, so you start with how much money are you making from a particular strategy, and you're measuring that. So you can see very clearly, I made X last week from this particular funnel. And if you follow that funnel back, you begin to look at, okay, so where did the sales come from? And then from there, you follow back to where did those leads that became to sales? And then finally, the last thing you're looking at is where those traffic sources are coming from. Because what you're trying to do is you're backing your way into the funnel. So your customers come in from the big end to the small end, but you should be tracking from the small end back. And why do you do that? You do that because of constraints. You only have so much that you can do. You only have so many resources. You have the way in money, in time for creating attraction content, in social, and your staff and what they can and cannot do. So you have the constraint of, I can only focus on a certain area. So if you're spending all that time just trying to generate traffic, but you're not really looking at what that traffic is actually doing for you, then you're focusing wrong. But if you go back and look at the kind of sales you're making, and then you look at what leads led to those sales and what channels of traffic did those leads come from, that is effective management of how you're going to measure your overall goals, right?
Yeah, and there's an old saying in advertising, half of my advertising is a waste of money, I don't know which half. There's no excuse anymore. You should know. You should know what you're doing that is generating those good quality leads. And you may have heard me say this before, I had several sources of traffic when I had my own solo business. If I'd have just followed the traffic, I would have failed. What I found was there were certain companies, and Copyblogger was one of them, that sent me much better leads. Not as many leads, but the leads generated revenue. They were high quality leads. There were fewer of them, but they converted much better. They spent more money. That's crucial. You need to know what marketing effort out of your limited resource is delivering the goods. And that is going to increase your overall profit margin because you're not adding wasted overhead. Now, we're not saying that you're cutting all your costs. We're saying manage your investments.
And when you're doing that, you need to think about it as what is the measurement showing me? So here's a very specific example backing out of a funnel. Let's start with your income. So you know you've made a certain amount of money this month. So you back it into your sales page, your final conversion strategy. Measuring there, you begin to look at your leaks, your cart abandonment. Why or what portion of those leads are abandoning at that area? So you can see what your percentages are. Now, every business is going to have a slightly different percentage. So there's no one size fits all strategy, but you need to look at, okay, am I losing people here on the sales page? You know, for example, maybe you have a multi-step checkout and they're abandoning before then, or maybe you require them to set up an account before they can buy, or they're, you know, that works really well for some types of businesses and other types of businesses it doesn't. So you need to see at the sales level, at this piece of the funnel, am I losing people and how much? Then you back up and you start to manage your leads. Okay, how effective are our leads? You would just use the example of the types of leads Copyblogger sent you back in your on your other site and how there was less leads, but they were much more effective. They actually converted better. So you can do that by measuring how many people are getting on this list and how many are actually making it to the sales page. You'll see this a lot where people jump into a, let's call it a lead generation strategy. And it's not a lead generation strategy. It's just buying a pop-up plugin and sticking it in and hoping that people will sign up for their newsletter and then think, wow, look, I got 200,000 people on my newsletter. And those are all leads. But if only a fraction of those, a tiny percentage of those are actually making sales, then what is the purpose of that? So that's the second area you look at backwards, at the leads. How effective are these leads? Am I getting a ton of leads, but they're not converting to sales? Or do I have, you know, not enough leads, but those that are coming in, my leads area, that channel of my funnel is working very effectively, and so is the sales page. So then you go back to traffic. Looking at the traffic, where is it coming from? How much traffic am I getting? And how effective is that strategy? Just like you did at the leads. So are you getting tons of social media traffic? Maybe it's from things that aren't really congruent with your sales message and they're abandoning and not actually becoming leads. Or is the traffic that's getting to you being very effective? Then you can start look at how to increase that traffic and how to make that traffic be coming from these different sources, move on to the lead. So that's an example of working back from the actual money you're making to your actual sales page, to your actual lead capture system, to your actual traffic, and looking at each of those levels to measure how effective are you doing and what are the constraints within each of those levels.
Yeah. And from that, from what Tony's just gone through, you can see why we're so anti-clickbait, why we tell people to get your free organic traffic running so you've got your numbers before you start advertising. Because if you start paying for traffic that's not doing you any good, you're accelerating your demise.
And you see this a lot, especially with celebrity clickbait type posts. So what X can teach you about my area of business? And you'll see that it'll generate a ton of traffic based on people searching for that celebrity's name. But a lot of times that traffic is not effective. It doesn't convert. There'll be a short on page time, or you'll see a huge bounce rate afterwards. And so there's an example where you may be getting tons of traffic for that page, but it's not congruent with your overall sales strategy. So it's not doing you any good.
Yeah. And yesterday I had an example of a guy who I looked at his Twitter stream and he was just contacting everybody with the same message and changing the name saying, hey, go look at this thing. And it was like every 5 minutes he was tweeting somebody else with a big following. It's like, not only is that ineffective and not only is it spam, but he's actually diminishing the value of their brand. So I was joking with Phil from FeedBlitz and he was like, how do you measure the ROI of that? I said, well, first you have to reduce the value of the brand by this strategy. So he's in negative ROI before he starts. So you have to look at, it's like, is what you're doing going to get you to the next stage? And is it part of a long-term overall good strategy? It's not distraction. It's not spamming. It's not clickbait. The traffic has to generate leads, which must be managed and measured by how many sales it creates. And then take it from there. Is it going to create sales with a good profit margin? And is that going to end up with an increase in income? If you do it the other way, if you focus on traffic, if you're not measuring the right things, then you've got fewer levers and dials to work with. You haven't got the tools to run your business. You've gone from being COO to being an employee of a dysfunctional manager.
So let's look at some steps. I'm going to throw out some questions right now that you can start looking at in your own business. So number one, start looking at what are your most profitable products. What are those products that are actually generating the income that you want to achieve and your most profitable customers, especially if you're in a service business? So where are the clients that are really generating the types of income that you need? Then you look at where are those sales coming from. So how do you get those sales? And then to get more of those sales with less effort in a shorter time, you look at your lead strategy. What does the funnels look like? How much is automated? What's working and what's not? And then what are some other areas that those existing customers and traffic can be utilized to kind of focus in some other different things that you're doing? So let's talk about repeat sales and things like existing customers who want to upgrade. So there's another area where you can look at your strategy and how it effectively takes them to the next level.
Yeah, by answering those questions, you can easily double your business by selling more profitably, selling more to the same people, which reduces your marketing costs and actually increases customer satisfaction and loyalty. And it's not about cost cutting. You're actually going to grow your business and grow your value to those customers. And you're going to expand your presence in the market. So it's a positive, progressive thing. So what are your most profitable products? How can you sell more of them? Can you raise your prices? And can you get customers to buy more from you? There are all ways that you could easily, in a short period of time, even though it's a long-term strategy, easily double your business.
So really all this comes down to is focus on the big stuff first. Look at what is actually important to the overall health of your business and those things that are going to have the most impact. Look at your constraints. Look at areas that aren't as effective or where you don't have the resources that you need and figure out ways that you can focus on those and expand on those. And that's the areas you need to focus on first. And last, look at the steps you can take right now. What are your most profitable products? Who are your most valuable customers? And where are those sales coming from? Answer questions that will allow you to track where the ultimate revenue is coming from and then work back through your funnel.
So in the next episode, we're going to look at how you actually do that with tools and your analytics. We've gone from strategy today. We'll go into the nuts and bolts of how you actually get those numbers and use them in your business.